saying that it was a beautiful sefer I brought last night. Haven't had a chance to look at it. Called Vayizrach Or, which has a nice akuntris here on Yom Kippur Shchalios B'Shabbos. So I recommend looking at it. But I'll just see from the table of contents among the topics that it has here: Hadlakas Neros, Kabbalah Shabbos, Hakdama Shachianu, Mizmor Sheli Yom Shabbos, Mitzvahs and Nahagim B'Shabbos, Toast with Tfilas and Kippur, Tfilas and Kippur, Shabbos, Chol Oth and Kippur, and Havdalos. Maybe without knowing what he has to say, which is probably a lot of beautiful stuff, at least we could take some inspiration from some of this table of contents and talk about some of the topics in the next few minutes. So we know that we have a strange phenomenon this week that it feels like we're essentially skipping Shabbos. It's the only time, happens at most once a year, if that, that we're going to go from basically a week and a half without having really a Shabbos, because Shabbos gets hidden by Yom Kippur. So it's an interesting question, just to what extent does it really get hidden by Yom Kippur? So there are a number of influences that Shabbos does have on Yom Kippur, even though the most obvious one we don't eat. And it's a little bit ironic, or a lot ironic, because how do you know that you have to eat on Shabbos? What's the mucker? What pasuk? So it's not clear from the Chumash, even though some of the Rishonim refer to it as a mitzvah in the Torah, but we generally relate to it as a mitzvah midivrei Kabbalah. It's a mitzvah that comes at us from the Nevi'im. And it's a pasuk in Sefer Yeshayahu, which tells us the karasa the Shabbos onek. So from that we understand that it's not really practical to say you can have onek without eating. So therefore there's an obligation to eat on Shabbos. So there's an irony here, because which Shabbos do we read that Haftorah? Do we read this Haftorah that contains the words the karasa the Shabbos onek, telling us we have to eat on Shabbos? Sorry? Yeah, every Yom Kippur, but this Yom Kippur that happens to be Shabbos, that's the Shabbos that we read it. So the one Shabbos that we don't eat is when we read the pasuk that tells us that we have to eat on Shabbos. So there's some irony there. It prompts the discussion, does Oneg have any role on a Shabbos like this? Or does Oneg have any role on Yom Kippur B'chlal? It's a question in general, first of all, whether Oneg applies to Yontif. I think maybe you've mentioned in the past the trivia question you could ask the two Sfarim that may not exist. Kedushas Levi and the Oneg Yontif. It's not so clear there's Kedusha for a Levi. That's the Sefer of Lazius Kabbatichev and the Sahas and Shubas, the Oneg Yontif. So it's not clear that there's an Oneg for Yontif. It's the Machlokas Rishonim, perhaps. So we know there's a concept of Oneg on Shabbos, and we know there's a concept of Simcha on Yontif. And whether it's true the inverse, is there Simcha on Shabbos and Oneg on Yontif, it's a little bit of a question. So when it comes to Hadlakas Neros on Yom Kippur, now what do we normally do? So the Gemara in Maseches Pesachim, and Daphne and Gimel, the Gemara tells us that it's a minig, and that it's contingent on local practice, whether to light candles for Yom Kippur or not. The mice nowadays we do, and Shulchan Aruch says we even make a bracha on this. Says Yesh Omrim, and the Ramah says that's what we do. We do make a bracha on Hadlakas Neros from Kippur, but it seems like one way or another, it's something that is sourced in a minig. When it comes to Shabbos, that's also Yom Kippur. So then the Gemara says over there in Pesachim, so then for sure you do light. So even if on a regular Yom Kippur, it's only question of what the minig is, but when it's Yom Kippur that's also Shabbos, then we know that you do light. So is that obvious? Maybe it's not so obvious. I mean, it's clear because the Gemara tells us. We say, well, yeah, of course. You know, if in Shabbos you should light, so then why shouldn't you light on Shabbos Yom Kippur? So why might it not be so obvious? Can you think about it for a second? Why might it not be so obvious? Oh, so that's the question. To what extent is Hadlakas Neros Shabbos connected to the Oneg of Shabbos and connected, therefore, to the Achila of Shabbos? So those are two separate questions, really. Question one is Hadlakas Neros Shabbos about Oneg? And question two, if it's about Oneg, would that mean specifically Afila? So in terms of Oneg, that was a question. The Rambam says both in two different places. In Hilcha Shabbos, the Rambam says in one place that it's Mishum Oneg Shabbos, and in one place that it's because of Kavod Shabbos. And the Gemara has another angle, which the Rambam also quotes separately, that says that Neir Shabbos are because of Shalom Bayis. And that's the whole discussion, how to understand what exactly is the connection between Shalom Bayis and Neir Shabbos. Some of the Rishonim say that when people are tripping over each other, so then they tend to snipe at each other, it tends to be a non-peaceful environment. So maybe that's what it means. So there are a couple levels to this question. So first of all, if you want to say, is it Oneg or is it Kavod? So what do those words mean? What's the difference between Oneg and Kavod? So the most common understanding is that of the Vilna Gaon. The Vilna Gaon says that, in Hilchos Yontif, the Vilna Gaon says that Kavod is what you do before Shabbos. And Oneg is what you do on Shabbos, which has one minor nafkamina. Sometimes people have a good meal on Shabbos and they're careful to say L'shem Kavod Shabbos when they have this good meal. So according to this Gra, you should really say L'shem Oneg Shabbos. But okay, so if it's L'shem Kavod, so then, okay, it doesn't seem like there's any reason to distinguish between a Shabbos that's Yom Kippur and a Shabbos that is not Yom Kippur. If it's Mishum Oneg, so then we have to figure out a little bit. Does Oneg mean specifically the meal, or maybe a meal is only one detail of Oneg? And maybe there's other ways to fulfill Oneg. It's interesting that some will connect the idea of Shalom Bayis with Oneg, especially because you have to figure out, we have too many reasons here to keep track of, that it could be that these are connected, that Shalom Bayis means that you're not going to have Oneg if people are tripping over each other and screaming at each other. That's not going to be a pleasant environment. So therefore, the Shalom Bayis is the Oneg, and that's true on Yom Kippur as well. You know, one could say, in fact, Al Pidarach HaDrosh, but really Al Pidarach HaHalach HaLamaisa, that it's an interesting question. Why is it that Chazal made this takana to light candles Friday night? If it's about tripping over people, so then we should have this every night. We should always be worried that you shouldn't have a dark household where people can't see things and they're going to trip and get angry at each other. Why Davka on Shabbos? This comes up because the Gemara says that because of the Shalom Bayis component, it's so important to have Shabbos candles that if it was Shabbos Chanukah and you could only afford either candles for Shabbos or candles for Chanukah, you give priority to Shabbos candles. Even though Chanukah candles are Pesumei Nisa, it's a big deal, but we prioritize Shabbos candles because of the role it plays for Shalom Bayis. So why don't we make this takana every night? Why don't we say that? And maybe it should be true for Hilchos Chanukah every night. And on a Tuesday night, if you don't have enough candles, both to light Chanukah candles and to have light in your house, maybe we should say, sorry Chanukah, but you have to prioritize light in your house so that you should have Shalom Bayis. So the truth is, there are some who say like that. It's a controversial point, but there are some who say like that, especially because the language of the Gemara is actually Ner Beso. And we assume that means Ner Shabbos, but it could mean not Ner Shabbos. And there is a minority of you like that. Some of the Achronim thought it can't be. It's a whole discussion. What seems to be the case is that when it comes to Ner Shabbos, even if you say the logic could apply all week long, any night you should have to have lighting in your household. But on Shabbos, we have a special focus on Shalom. We have a special need to make sure that you have a peaceful household. And if that's the case, so then when it comes to that, maybe we're more concerned about this. Maybe we're more focused on the idea that there should be an element of protecting the peace. And that's based on the Shla. The Shla says, in other sources, the Shla says, the Pasuk in Vayakel says, Lo sevara eish b'chol mosh v'seichem b'yom ha-Shabbos, you shouldn't burn a fire on Shabbos. And the Gemara wants to figure out, so many malachas, 39 malachas, why is this malacha singled out? So the Shlach says it's not about lighting a physical fire, it's lighting an emotional fire. You can't have machlokas on Shabbos. So if that's the idea, that we're even more careful about lighting a candle, we're even more aware of the importance of Shalom. So on Yom Kippur, that's all the more true, right? Because what does the Mishnah say about Yom Kippur? The Yom Kippur is not mechaper ad shiratzis chadeiro. So if Yom Kippur is not going to work until your friend is appeased, why is that the case? So some explain it's because the Kodesh Baruch Hu is more ready to be mochel us when we're in a state of shalom. So therefore we need Yom Kippur to be a time when there is shalom between people. So if we want to say that all week long there's a svara to have a candle at night, and we could have heard Chazal say, we insist that you have to have a candle every night of the week. But okay, they didn't do that. They did it especially for Shabbos. So especially for Yom Kippur, we could also have heard a svara to do it. So every Yom Kippur, it's a minig, but Yom Kippur on Shabbos, especially, have both these svaras together. So then the candle has a lot of symbolism. Hi.
But this, like, specifically the reason, so we have lights nowadays.
That's a big discussion. That I'm happy to talk about, but we won't be able to say anything else for Yom Kippur. Happens to be, it's a big discussion in post. You'd be surprised if Shlomo Zalman, if Moshe Feinstein, Moshe Weiss has writings about this. You'd be surprised how fragile our contemporary practice of Hadlakas Neir Shabbos is, considering the fact that we have electric lights nowadays, because it does radically change the context. We're happy to talk about it, but we'll maybe leave that for a later date so we can say a few other things about Yom Kippur. But here, just, it's interesting that maybe we can say it's a little bit Alpidara Chadrush, but it's the themes are for sure true Halacha L'maisa, so it's worth thinking about this first seriously, that the Nair that we're going to have in our houses tomorrow night represents the importance of Shalom, which on Shabbos is a special theme, and Yom Kippur independently is a crucial theme. And altogether, that's what we have going into Shabbos and Kippur. Okay, it's an interesting discussion also about, even without Shabbos, whether Kavod and Oneg is a theme on Yom Kippur. Kavod, it seems, is. In fact, it sounds like from the Gemara that the Pasuk in Yeshaya there, which mentions Kavod also, is talking specifically about the Yom Kippur. And the Meiri and a few others say that you should hype up the Kavod, because since the Oneg is compromised, so therefore you have to really put your all in the Kavod. I guess get the fanciest sneakers that you can get for your clothes on Yom Kippur, whatever it is. Make sure that the Kavod comes out. That's one component. And, yes, sir?
How do you show the Kavod?
Well, we do, in general, with the exception of the shoes, we do dress nicely. So that's a basic kavod. You know, certainly when it comes to every Shabbos, that's one of the main manifestations of kavod Shabbos. So that applies to Yom Kippur. And it's also interesting that once we're lighting candles, so where do we light candles in the house? So during the regular Friday night experience, we have the candles near the table. We said it's associated with the meal. So on Yom Kippur, whether it's Shabbos or not, so you're not going to have a meal there. So why do we light candles there? Why don't we light candles somewhere else in the house? So some explain that the dining room always represents the mechubedik place. Even if there isn't actually a meal taking place, I think Rav Moshe Sternbach writes like that, that it's always the place of kavod, and therefore that's where they're going to be even if you're not actually eating there. I once wanted to say, Pilpul, I remember I mentioned this to Rav Schechter, I don't think he really thought it was correct. But maybe you could connect this to the fact that tonight and tomorrow is Erev Yom Kippur. So Erev Yom Kippur, this is so important to emphasize also, so there is a mitzvah to eat on Erev Yom Kippur. The Gemara Maseches Brachos and Daf Ches derives that from the pasuk of Pasuk in Parshas Emor, which tells us that we fast with Tishah L'Chodesh. So Gemara asks, the ninth? That's not true. Yom Kippur is the 10th. So what does it mean we fast on the 9th? So the Gemara has two answers to that in two different places. But one answer is that whoever fasts on that, whoever eats and drinks on the 9th, we count it for him as if he ate and drank on the... Whoever eats and drinks on the 9th, we count it for him as if he fasted 2 days, if he fasted the 9th and the 10th together. So there's a mitzvah to eat on Erev Yom Kippur. And the question is why? And the Rishonim discuss this, and the Achronim discuss this in many, many theories, but there are at least two major theories that you can find in the Rishonim. Among the places you can find this, Rabbeinu Yonah and Shari Tshuva goes through them. And also the Ritva in Maseches Rosh Hashanah has a Daf Tes that goes through a couple of possibilities also. So the two major ideas that you find is that maybe it's to help with the fast, so you should be a little more prepared to fast. Within that view, there's a minority view that it's the opposite. The Tarat Tumim quotes an idea that is to make the fast harder, that really we should have fasted 2 days, and we can't do that, so we eat more the day before, so the one day that we are fasting will be more intense by comparison. But most others assume that it's the other way around, that we eat before so that we will be in a state of preparedness on Yom Kippur. So one idea is there to prepare for the fast. The other idea is that it's a Sudas Yontif, that Yom Kippur really is a happy Yontif, and we really should be having a meal. But what can we do? There's a technical difficulty of the Isser Kares of eating on Yom Kippur. So we have the meal a little bit earlier. We push the meal up to Erev Yom Kippur, and that's where it takes on this identity as a Sudas Yontif. So it could be that there is Kavod Yom Kippur that's manifested that way. So I once wanted to suggest that maybe that's why the candles should be in the dining room. It's not really a great suggestion because we don't light them before the meal, so it doesn't really have much to do with it, so that was kind of a kvetch, but maybe there is some notion of kavod that is reflected there. What difference does it make whether eating an Erev Yom Kippur is because of kavod or because of preparation for the fast? So it could affect something. There was a shaila in the Tshuva Shel Rabbi Akiva Eiger, and many later poskim talked about this also, that a woman came to Rabbi Akiva Eiger and she asked the question. She said that she's a chola, she's not well, and she's not going to be fasting on Yom Kippur. So if she's not fasting, should she still be obligated to eat on Erev Yom Kippur? So Rabbi Akiva Eiger said like this, well, if the idea is that eating on Erev Yom Kippur is to prepare for the fast, so then you can make a case that a chola who's not fasting should be exempt from eating on Erev Yom Kippur. And if the idea is that it's a mitzvah of Kavod Yontif, so then you could say it's a mitzvah, say, Shazman Grama. It's a positive mitzvah that's tied into a specific time. So he says, Mimonav Shach, she's Pater. That if it's Mishum preparing for the fast, she's Pater because she's a chola. And if it's because of a separate mitzvah of Kavod Yontif, then she's Pater because she is an Isha. So that's an interesting observation. So in any event, so we have this idea of eating on Erev Yom Kippur. The other din that the Gemara learns from that pasuk is the din of Tosefes, that we have an obligation to start Yom Kippur early. And the halacha, most of the Rishonim, almost all, but not all the Rishonim, understand that the din of Tosefes applies in the Torah to every Yontif and every Shabbos. But the Rambam is a minority. The Rambam just focuses on the minimal reading of the pasuk. And the Rambam says the obligation is only for Yom Kippur. He only talks about an obligation for Yom Kippur. And even with Yom Kippur, he only talks about the fast. To start the fast early, that's an obligation of Tosefes. So all Rishonim agree that Tosefes is Minat Torah when it refers to the fast of Yom Kippur. So theoretically, these two dinim could come in conflict. What happens if it's a few minutes before Yom Kippur and you realize you haven't had a chance to eat yet, so you have a mitzvah to eat on Erev Yom Kippur and a mitzvah to start Yom Kippur early, so those two could be in conflict. So there was a machlokas achronim, which din is more important. But they all, theoretically, we we're busy people, but hopefully we're not so busy that we can't find time to do both. I have time to eat on Erev Yom Kippur and start Yom Kippur a few minutes early. They both have probably a status of Daraisa, both coming from the same pasuk. But there were some who suggested that maybe we should do a trick. That why don't we say that this year, let's stagger things. Let's bring in Shabbos first without bringing in Yom Kippur. And then we'll have a Suda Shabbos. And then when we finish our Suda Shabbos, then let's bring in Yom Kippur. So that way we could satisfy both. We could have our Suda Shabbos and still fast on Yom Kippur. So that idea was not accepted for a number of reasons. And it's similar to what we talked about a few weeks ago or a few days ago when discussing that question of Migo about why is it that we don't say that maybe we should make Kiddush on Shabbos and Kippur and have a little bit of a shir. So that whole question was only according to a rejected opinion in the Gemara that chatzi shir is permissible min HaTorah. But the question also came up a little bit in a more mainstream way that there is the issue, what happens on Yom Kippur if a person is not well and a person has to eat on Yom Kippur? So let's say, first of all, they have to bench. Do they make Yalav Yovo? So in the Shulchan Aruch, he says, yes, you do make a Yalav Yovo, you do mention Yom Kippur in your benching, as funny as that sounds. But the Magen Avraham says, but you don't make Kiddush. So why shouldn't you make Kiddush? It's Yontif, if you're going to eat, why shouldn't you make Kiddush? So the Chonim explained that Kiddush on Yontif is a Drabbanan, and there never was such an institution made for Yom Kippur, since generally we don't eat. So Rabbi Akiva Eiger asks, okay, but why don't we say that if it's Shabbos, like this week, so then maybe it should be that if somebody is not well and they're going to eat, so then maybe they should make Kiddush. So here, that was a whole discussion. Many assume that still the same answer is true, that, like we mentioned from the Or Sameach, that you don't make Kiddush on Shabbos and Yom Kippur because when Shabbos and Yom Kippur coincide, they're not the same concept as they are when they're separate. That it's not that a Shabbos and Yom Kippur happening the same day, but Shabbos and Yom Kippur merge to form a new entity, which we could call Shabbipur, right? So on Shabbipur, there never was any institution of Kiddush, so we certainly aren't going to tell a healthy person to try to pull any tricks to try to get it in. But even a person who's eating anyway, we don't say that he should make Kiddush because of that. That's, again, there were those who disagreed. That's the whole discussion. Maybe we'll mention, we have 2 minutes left, and we'll mention one other point that's here on this list. So what about Havdalah? So Havdalah is the whole question about Besamim. Besamim we make Besamim normally because of the Neshama Yisera. So it's a question if there's a Neshama Yisera on Yom Kippur also. So that's it's a question also relates to the issue of whether Neshama Yisera is about eating or it's about Oneg. I don't know if I mentioned before the question of Oneg, that there is a view that the Chuas Marshag points out that he thinks that there is Oneg on Yom Kippur. And therefore, it's kind of a delicate balance because even though we have to abstain from the inuyim, but you can't go any step beyond that. That once you're abstaining from the inuyim, to do anything more to make yourself uncomfortable, that would be a violation of oneg. So, all right, but then it's a question of do you have the neshama yaseira that you should have to summon? So it's a little bit of a suffix with halacha about making samim. And then the question comes up, okay, so you might say, as some posts can do, so, all right, it's a suffix, but you might as well make it anyway, because you are going to get to hana, so the bracha is not a bracha lebatala, so what does it hurt just to throw samim into the process? So there were some who thought, well, maybe it's a hefsek, because you make a bar priya gafen normally, and then samim, and then havdalah. So if there's no samim, that's supposed to be, so then just to randomly throw this brechas hanen in the middle of your havdalah for no reason, maybe that's a hafzik. And notice that's not a hafzik. You always make havdalah with samim. So here, even if you want to argue that it's not strictly speaking necessary, that's not going to be considered to be a hafzik. Hi. You could. That's another possibility. That's what some recommended. Maybe you should move the order around because of the suffix. As you know, that's among the suggestions that you find. It's also a question that normally is a difference. We make a Havdalah over a candle on Shabbos, and we do so on Yom Kippur, but there's a difference, la halacha, every Motzei Shabbos, we light the candle then and we make Havdalah. Yom Kippur, it's a whole different concept. The whole, it's a totally different idea that we Davka have to use a light that was around already from before Yom Kippur. So we have to take, like if you're in a household, it's not so hard. You have the outside candle, that's what you take from there, and you make Havdalah on that. But if you don't have such a candle available, so then we say, skip the candle for Havdalah and Yom Kippur. But if it's Yom Kippur and Shabbos, so since Al Shabbos you could be lighting a new candle and that would be a normal thing for Havdalah. So they write, at least b'di'evad, that when it comes up to that situation, if you happen not to have Havdalah candles, so then you can light one new, even though on a regular Yom Kippur you would just skip it if you didn't have any candles around. There's also a question about Avinu Malkeinu. We don't say Avinu Malkeinu on Yom Kippur, except till the end. It's a question why that is. Some understand it to be a personal bakasha. Some see it as simply a heker between Shabbos and non-Shabbos, that we need to have some difference in what's going on so that we should recognize that it's Shabbos, and that's where it took the hit. And some hold that it's really a problem of bakasha strachim on Shabbos. So Reb Moshe Feinstein has a tshuva where he notes that even though the rest of the davening we keep the same, and we don't worry about that, so how come only the Avinu Malkeinu is that's where we all of a sudden wake up and say we shouldn't be doing this on Shabbos? It says that Surah of the Tefillah, so that we're going to keep the same no matter what. But this Avinu Malkeinu, which is outside the Surah of the Tefillah itself, so then there's more room to say, okay, maybe Shabbos is not appropriate, so for most of them on Shabbos we leave out until we get to the very end. There are a number of other issues. Like I said, hopefully maybe by the next time it comes around I'll have read what's in this nice sefer here, but he's got at least 60 pages on it, so there's definitely a lot more to say. But those are some of the themes, and again, the opening theme that we mentioned, the theme of Shalom, it should be highlighted more than anything. We should make sure that this is something that we fully appreciate and incorporate into our day. We should be b'shalom with everybody, and through that attitude, we should be zocha that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should be b'shalom with us. I wish you a Gemara Chasima Tova. Thank you for being here today, and what if people aren't. And we'll see you, God willing, to 2 weeks, 2.5 weeks?
Yeah, 2 weeks.
All right. Everyone, if I'm going to get through...